Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. This message is for the week of March 21st, 2021, and it's entitled, Who is Jesus? He is the Savior. The text we're looking at today is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. You may want to turn to that, have it open. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 21. The call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 100, verses 2 to 4, in the God's Words translation. Serve the Lord cheerfully. Come into His presence with a joyful song. Realize that the Lord alone is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, and the sheep in His care. Enter His gates with a song of thanksgiving. Come into His courtyards with a song of praise. Give thanks to Him. Praise His name. Amen. Today we are continuing in John chapter 10, looking at another of Jesus' I am statements. And today it is, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus' teaching in chapter 10 comes out of the events of chapter 9. In chapter 9, Jesus' healing of the man born blind from birth has brought the question of Jesus' identity to the forefront. Who is he? The Pharisees, who have now come to strongly oppose Jesus, have declared Jesus a sinner, and also made it known that anyone who claims Jesus is the Messiah will be put out of the synagogue. Who is Jesus that he can do such miracles? The people are asking. Is he sent by God? In John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21, Jesus uses the imagery of the shepherd and his sheep to describe his mission. In the Bible, God and his chosen leaders are seen as shepherd of the people. The true shepherd of the sheep can be seen by the way the sheep respond to him and also his care for the sheep. So let's take a look at the Good Shepherd in John 10, verses 11 to 21. In these verses, we hear Jesus twice say, I am the Good Shepherd. And then he describes what that means and what that looks like. So let's take a closer look. First of all, in verses 11 to 13, let's look at the response when the sheep are in danger. The response of the shepherds when the sheep are in danger. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. What do you think of when you hear the phrase, the Good Shepherd? I think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It goes on, it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads, He restores, He guides, He comforts, and He prepares to provide for me. Jesus defines what He means by good shepherd. He doesn't leave us guessing, He tells us. And it includes and exceeds what we think of when we think of Psalm 23. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This means the good of the sheep come first. The good of the sheep come before the very life of the shepherd. Jesus contrasts his actions then with those who claim that they are shepherds, but by their actions they prove they're not. Let me read John 10, 12 to 13. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and run away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So let's take a look at the hired hand in verses 12 and 13. These verses describe the tragic results of a shepherd abandoning the sheep just when he is most needed. And that's when they are attacked by a predator. But why does the hired hand run? Well, quite honestly, they have no connection with the sheep or concern for the sheep. They have been paid to look after the sheep, and they may be thinking, this is not what I signed up for. I need to do what's best for me. So they run from danger. This was God's criticism of Israel's leaders in Ezekiel 34, where the Lord used the image of shepherds and sheep to describe the situation that existed at that time. Here's verses 1 to 5 of Ezekiel 34 from the Message translation. God's message came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherd leaders of Israel. Yes, prophesy. Tell those shepherds, God the Master says doom to you, shepherds of Israel, feeding your own mouths. Aren't shepherds supposed to feed sheep? You drink the milk, you make clothes from the wool, you roast the lambs, but you don't feed the sheep. You don't build up the weak ones, don't heal the sick. Don't doctor the injured. Don't go after the strays. Don't look for the lost. You bully and badger them. And now they're scattered every which way because there was no shepherd. Scattering and easy pickings for wolves and coyotes." Clearly, Israel's leaders were not looking after the people. They were using them and looking after themselves. And further on in this chapter, in Ezekiel 34, the Lord declares that he himself will shepherd his people. We see this in verses 10 to 12. And then later on, he says that he will send his servant David. And that's referring to the Messiah, to be their shepherd. So this is a promise that the Messiah will shepherd his people. So here's a contrast of the response to the sheep. Let's continue looking at the Good Shepherd. Now in verses 14 to 18, the Good Shepherd's relationships. First of all, his relationship with his sheep. Remember now, when we're speaking of sheep, we're speaking of God's people. And this is an image that we see in the Bible. We are reminded of the shepherd Jesus spoke of in chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. He says in verse 14, "I know my sheep." This comes out in verse 3. "Know them by name," it means personally. "Also, they know me." And again, this came out in the end of verse 3 and the end of verse 4 of John chapter 10. And this is, "The sheep know the shepherd. This is demonstrated by their coming when I call and their obedience to my direction. They follow me." In verse 16, Jesus tells us that he has other sheep that are not of this pen, who will listen to my voice, he says. Now, who's he talking about? He's referring to the Gentiles. The sheep he's talking about right now would be the Jewish nation. And those that he's talking about that are not, who will listen to his voice, he's talking about the expansion of the church to the Gentiles. And together they will become one flock with one shepherd. He doesn't say they're going to come into this pen. He says he's going to combine them into one flock. Jesus is describing the church made up of Jews and Gentiles together praising God. That's the good shepherd's relationship with the sheep. Jesus also speaks of the good shepherd, his relationship with the Father. Jesus' intimate relationship with his sheep grows out of the intimate, close relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. And the love of the Father, the love of God the Father for the people of this world, we're reminded of that in John 3, 16 and 17, is seen in Jesus' willingness to lay down his life for the sheep, for us, the people of this world, which Jesus states a second time now, in the end of verse 15. Now, Jesus' words in verses 17 and 18 deserve careful reflection. They read, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. John 10:17-18. Notice that when Jesus speaks of laying down his life, which is referring to his death, he immediately speaks of his ability to take it up again. Although Jesus' life has been repeatedly threatened, the timing remains with him. The end of chapter 8, Jesus was threatened with stoning. And at the end of this chapter, chapter 10, he will be again. His life has been threatened, but the timing of his death remains with him. He has the authority of his Father to decide when to lay his life down and when to take it up again. And he repeats that theme. What does it mean, take it up again? Resurrection. Now, what does verse 17 mean regarding the Father's love for Jesus? It almost sounds like Jesus is trying to do this to earn his Father's love, but that would be a wrong understanding. The reason my Father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. Think of the motivation behind, the reason why Jesus is doing this. And Jesus is saying that his love for the sheep deeply touches the Father, who also deeply loves the sheep, loves the people of this world. They share that desire to see us have an opportunity to be saved and not to perish. And that's why the Father sent the Son, John 3:16-17. Frederick Bruner, in his commentary on John, paraphrases this passage. He says, essentially, this is what it's saying. This is why the Father loves me so much, because I not only die for the world, but then I will come right back again through my resurrection and ascension to live over the world and within my church as well. I plan to keep on reaching out to the special world with these special people. He goes on, he says, Jesus' continuing love for the world deeply pleases the God who so loved the world. Hence, Jesus' cross and resurrection means as much to the Father as they do to us. The Good Shepherd's relationship with his sheep, with his Father. And then let's look finally, verses 19 to 21, the response of the crowds to Jesus, the response of the crowd to Jesus. Once again, we are reminded that each one of us must decide, what do we believe about Jesus? Who is Jesus? We have to come to a conclusion ourselves. It seems like many of them are saying, are you listening to this guy? Does he make any sense? He must be possessed by a demon. It sounds crazy. Some could not see past the fact that Jesus was breaking the religious laws that they had created. And he also seemed he was human. Rather than trying to understand the meaning behind what he was doing, understand what the meaning was of his signs and his miracles, that he had God's approval, that he is the one. But no, they couldn't see that. The other response, we read that some essentially say, nonsense, it's nonsense. Demons don't heal the blind. They're saying, listen to Jesus' words and look at what he's doing. They're not coming from a source of evil. Verse 10 says, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now these words close this passage and it rings in our ears. They seem to link this portion of chapter 10 back into chapter 9, where Jesus healed the blind man, and then this controversy arose. Who is he that he can do this? What about you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he someone dangerous to avoid? Or is he your shepherd? If He is your shepherd. Are you responding to his voice? Are you responding when he calls, when he corrects, when he directs? Are you going with him? Are you being found where he is? That was one of the ways that Jesus explained why he was doing what he was doing. He said, when I see the Father at work, I join him. When we see the Son at work, the Good Shepherd at work, are we joining him? When Jesus was criticized for hanging around with sinners, he told three parables about the joy of finding lost things, including the joy of recovering a lost sheep. This is in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. We, if we have responded to Jesus' invitation to follow him as our sin forgiver and life leader, we now have the privilege of helping the Good Shepherd bring back his lost sheep. We can be a part of that. As Easter approaches, we are reminded that Jesus was fully prepared for the cross and the empty tomb. And this came out of love for us, love for humanity. Ask the Lord to use you to share his love with someone that he is seeking out this week. Amen. Let me close with the benediction from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 from the Christian Standard Bible. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Listen to the shepherd. Follow the good shepherd.